Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. On this evening's show, we've got some songs composed by Terry Shand. We'll play some midnight music. We're going to check into some hotels, get religion, and hopefully we've not bitten off more than we can chew. Last week, October 1st, marked the birth in 1904 in Uvalde, Texas, of pianist, bandleader, and composer Terry Shand. In 1921, he played piano at the Horn Palace in San Antonio in a group which included trombonist Jack Teagarden and clarinetist Sidney Arredin, composer of Lazy River. From 1933 to 38, Terry played piano and sang with the Freddie Martin Band, after which he led his own band. He also played with Wingy Minone and the New Orleans Rhythm Kings. His later Western songs included I'm Gonna Lock My Heart and Throw Away the Key and I Wouldn't Touch You with a 10-Foot Pole. Terry Shand died November 11, 1977. Here are three songs from the pen of Terry Shand.
Them for smiles. I've looked for a place in the sun, but I found a cozier one. I'm sitting high on a hilltop, tossing all my troubles to the moon, where the breeze seems to say, don't you worry, things are bound to pick up pretty soon. Beneath the sky on the hilltop, seems the world is all in tune. I forget all the hustle and hurry, tossing all my troubles to the moon. I know someone will love me and everything will be just great. Just so the stars up above me continue doing business at the same old stand. It's mighty sweet in the evening when I've had a busy afternoon, sitting high, high, high on a hilltop, tossing all my troubles to the moon. Love me and everything will be just grand. Just so the stars up above me continue doing business at the same old stand. It's mighty sweet in the evening when I've had a busy afternoon, sitting high, high, high on a hilltop, tossing all my troubles to the moon.
Again, and if that look in your eyes means what I'm thinking of, I double dare you to fall in love with me. I double dare you.
Trio of songs from the pen of pianist, bandleader, and composer Terry Shand. We started the show with Bert Hirsch directing the Hit of the Week Orchestra, with Ralph Kerberry performing the vocal on My Extraordinary Gal. Then it was Dick Powell, backed by Victor Young and his orchestra, and I'm Sitting High on a Hilltop. And we just heard Joanne Andrews with Jack Harris and his orchestra in London on February 5th, 1938, and I Double Dare You. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, on September 30th in 1939, Captain Midnight was heard on radio for the first time. The adventure series was created by Robert M. Burt and Wilfred G. Moore. Captain Midnight was the undercover name for pilot and secret agent Jim Red Albright, but by the end of the first season, many listeners knew him only by that name. Captain Midnight flew his single-engine plane all over the place, fighting crime and trying to stop the plans of the evil Ivan Shark and his daughter Fury. Captain Midnight was helped in his efforts by Chuck Ramsey and Patsy Donovan, later Joyce Ryan, who were members of his secret squadron. The series grew in popularity and was broadcast over the Mutual Network beginning in 1940. Captain Midnight was one of the first series to offer premiums or prizes such as the Captain Midnight decoder rings. The show was originally sponsored by Skelly Oil, and despite gasoline not being a children's product, Skelly advertised by telling the kids to get their dads to drive to Skelly gas stations to get the show's premiums and, of course, buy Skelly gasoline. The young listeners could also become members of the secret squadron, usually by signing up for the premiums. In 1940, the radio series was broadcast over the Mutual Broadcasting System and was sponsored by Ovaltine, which continued the premiums by way of their foil tops. Ovaltine dropped its sponsorship of Little Orphan Annie in order to be associated with Captain Midnight. Eventually, the series moved from radio to film and finally to television. Here's the opening of the November 23, 1939 radio episode.
The Skelly Oil Company presents Captain Midnight. Captain Midnight, brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, at this same time, by the Skelly Oil Company, Skelly jobbers and dealers. Skelly, you know, was the originator of tailor-made gasoline. The famous Skelly Aeromax gasoline that's always wide awake, quick starting, and full of pep because it's weather right for your car. And now to Captain Midnight. Last time you remember, Captain Midnight and Chuck almost met their archenemy, Ivan Shark, face to face. When Captain Midnight opened the secret door into the library in the darkness, he projected his voice like a ventriloquist. Shark, waiting in the dark, turned on the light suddenly and ordered Gardo to shoot, thinking Captain Midnight and Chuck were already in the room. Well, Captain Midnight quickly shut the secret door again. We now find him, a moment later, outside this secret door with Chuck in utter blackness. Listen as Chuck gasps.
That was Shark, Red. That was Ivan Shark himself. And he gave orders to have us shot.
Yes, Chuck, it was. I'll never forget his voice.
Red, what are we going to do? What will Shark do? You said that he knew how to open the door from inside the library.
Yes.
Suppose he should open it right now.
Shark won't do that, Chuck. Remember, he's a coward at heart. He has good reason to be afraid of me. Now, this is the way I've got it figured out. Shark knows we came in through the exit leading into the Blanca. Having found out he was waiting for us here, he will assume we will try to escape in that direction. Also, that's where our plane is, our only means of flight.
Then you think he'll go there?
Yes, that's what I believe.
Oh, but gosh, Red, he won't leave the library unguarded, will he?
No, Chuck, he won't. He may leave one or two guards there. But don't forget, with Senor Pareda, there are three of us. Now, Chuck, you can find your way back to Senor Pareda and Dolores, can't you?
You bet I can.
All right, now listen. You get them and bring them back here quickly and carefully. In the meantime, I'll stand guard at this door. We can't leave a single loophole. And I have an idea.
So here to commemorate Captain Midnight are some rapidly rotating records about midnight, beginning with Benny Moten's Kansas City Orchestra. Thank you.
the butcher's door. At six, I'm getting Papa Dan's breakfast fix. Just crazy about my midnight dance. I say, what about my midnight dance?
Thank you.
Some Midnight songs on Rapidly Rotating Records to commemorate the radio debut of Captain Midnight. We started off with Midnight Mama, written by Jelly Roll Morton and performed in Chicago on December 14, 1926 by Benny Moten's Kansas City Orchestra. Next, it was Julia Moody and Midnight Dan. Julia Moody began recording in 1922 with the Black Swan label, founded by Harry Pace. Midnight Dan, waxed in New York on September 18, 1925, is one of four sides she recorded for Columbia. The band accompanying Julia Moody on that recording is Edgar Dowell's Chicago Waddlers. What a great name. Pianist Edgar Dowell was born in the Caribbean and wrote Midnight Dan, as well as West Indies Blues. And we finished up that trio of Midnight songs with Irving Kaufman in 1926 and Half a Moon. So what does Half a Moon have to do with Midnight? Well, the band, which included Red Nichols, was the Midnight Serenaders. Doing our part to keep alive the music of the 1920s and 30s, this is Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm your host, Glenn Robison, and we're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL Avalon, streaming online at www.kisl.org, and available on demand 24/7 any time of the day or night at www.radiofreeworld.com. Last week, September 30th, marked the birth in 1861 of someone whose name is familiar to most everyone here on the island, William Wrigley Jr., oldest of William and Mary Wrigley's eight children. The senior Wrigley was a soap manufacturer, and at age 29, William Jr. moved from Philadelphia to Chicago and began selling Wrigley's scouring soap. As an incentive to merchants, he included free premiums, including baking powder. The baking powder proved to be more popular than the soap, so he switched to the baking powder business. In 1892, he made a deal with the Zeno Manufacturing Company and began including two free sticks of chewing gum with each can of baking powder. The chewing gum became more popular than the baking powder, so Wrigley began marketing it under his own name. His first two brands were Lotta and Vassar. Juicy Fruit was introduced in 1893 and Spearmint later that same year. William Wrigley Jr. died on January 26, 1932, but not before buying Santa Catalina Island and building the casino. So here to celebrate William Wrigley Jr.'s birthday are some rapidly rotating records about gum, starting off with the original Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
The Yankee says, gee whiz. The Scotsman says, hook eye. The Welshman says, indeed, to goodness, goodness knows just why. In Lancashire and Yorkshire, ever since the world began, this is the expression of the strong and silent man. E-by-gum. The only thing he ever says is E-by-gum. He says it when he's happy, and he says it when he's glum. He means an awful lot when he says E-by-gum. He hears it in the cradle before he cuts a tooth. He learns it as a baby, and he says it as a youth. And when he goes a-courting, and the girl says, yum-yum, he looks into her eyes and whispers, "Michael." The Frenchman says, la-la. The Irish say, bedad. Ot-bodikins is what they said when Cromwell was a lad. The Spaniard says, caramba, and the Eskimo says, wow. None of them mean half as much as what we're singing now. By gum. The only thing he ever says is, by gum. He says it when he's happy, and he says it when he's glum. He means an awful lot when he says, by gum. He hears it in the cradle before he cuts a tooth. He learns it as a baby, and he says it as a youth. At the Isle of Man or Blackpool, for a while he'll lose his chum. When his chum says, where's the bin, lad? He says, by gum. The only thing he ever says is, by gum. He says it when he's happy, and he says it when he's glum. He means an awful lot when he says, by gum. He hears it in the cradle before he cuts the tooth. He learns it as a baby, and he says it as a youth. If the GG he backs loses, or wins, or doesn't run, whether he collects or pays out, he says, well, I'll go to heck.
On the Tombigbee River, so bright I was born, in a hut made of husks of the tall yellow corn. And there I first met with my Julia so true, and I rode her about in my gum tree canoe. Sing a row away, row, oh, the water so blue, like a feather we'll float in my gum tree canoe. All the day in the field of soft cotton I hold, and I think of my Julia and sing as I go. Oh, I catch her a bird with a wing of a true blue, and at night sail her out in my gum tree canoe. Sing a row away, row, oh, the water's so blue, like a feather we'll float in my gum tree canoe. With my hand on the banjo and the toe on the oar, I sing to the sound of the river's soft roar, while the stars they look down at my Julia so true, and they dance in her eyes in my gum tree canoe. Sing a row away, row, oh, the water waters are so blue. Like a feather we'll afloat in my gum-free canoe. One night this dream bore us so far, far away that we couldn't come back. So we thought we'd just stay. Then we spied a tall ship with a flag of true blue, and it took us in a tow in my gum tree canoe. Sing row away row, oh, the waters are so blue. Like a feather we'll float in my gum tree canoe.
Some gum songs to celebrate the birthday of William Wrigley Jr., born September 30th, 1861. We began with the original Yellow Jackets and Swinging at the Chat and Chew, recorded in Hot Springs, Arkansas on March 5th, 1937. The Chat and Chew Sandwich Shop was located at 530 West 9th Street in Hot Springs, but all that remains of it today is the slab and the brown and white floor tile. It was founded in 1936 and owned by Samuel L. Jones. It was later owned by C. Franklin Brown and went out of business around 1952. The original Yellow Jackets was founded by pianist Chester Lane. In the late 1920s, Chester Lane joined Bryant's Merrymakers. Bryant's Merrymakers was very prominent in Little Rock, Arkansas, and in 1928 or 29 became James Bryant's Peppers. Chester Lane left James Bryant's Peppers around 1930 and formed a trio which evolved into the original Yellow Jackets. It's unknown what the name Yellow Jackets refers to, but it could be the band's uniforms, and since there wasn't another Yellow Jackets band, the reason for using original in the name is unknown as well. Between 1930 and 1936, the Yellow Jackets increased in size from a trio to a full orchestra. The band's founder, Chester Lane, left around 1936 and joined the Jeter Pillars Orchestra in Chicago, recording with them in August of 1937. Next, it was Gracie Fields in 1928 and E. By Gum. And we finished up with Frank Crummett, who is most closely associated with silly and novelty songs, such as What Kind of a Noise Annoys an Oyster, The Song of the Prune, and There's No One with Endurance Like the Man Who Sells Insurance. But his repertoire included many traditional and folk tunes like the one we just heard, Gum Tree Canoe, recorded on December 2, 1929, but not issued until 1932. That is an extremely rare record. As a matter of fact, there's only one known copy.
Just be careful of that record.
What's that?
Just be careful of that record.
Okay. You're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, Sunday evenings at 6 on Island Radio, KISL FM 88.7, Avalon.
Turn on your radio, and then you listen. Without a radio, oh, what you're missing.
Have a request for a particular song or artist? Have a comment about the show? We love to get email, and you can send it to Glenn at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, or you can send good old-fashioned cards or letters to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's Glenn at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, or P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. Last week, October 5th in 1930, marked the radio network debut of one of the most controversial figures in early broadcasting. Father Charles Edward Coughlin, known as the Fighting Priest, was first heard over WJR Detroit on October 17th, 1926. In the mid-30s, when CBS refused to carry his broadcasts any longer, Coughlin formed his own network of 47 stations. He once proposed scrapping Congress, and two attempts were made on his life. He left the air after the church set up a censorship board to review his scripts prior to broadcast. So here to commemorate Father Coughlin are some songs about religion, beginning with Tiny Parham and his musicians.
Ben, if you'll just hold the band for a moment, I have a confession to make. You know, confession is good for the soul. And so before I begin to tell you any more, well, I'm confessing first that I'm Chester Gaylord, and the rest is all in the song. How I long to tell you that I love you. Love finds a way, so poets say. Why, every dream I dream is only of you. Come cuddle near and listen dear. I'm confessing that I love you. Tell me, do you love me too? Why, I'm confessing that I need you, honest I do. I need you every moment. In your eyes I read such strange things, but your lips deny they're true. Will your answer really change things, making me blue? Why, I'm afraid someday you'll leave me, saying, can't we still be friends? If you go, you know you'll grieve me. All that life on you depends. Am I guessing that you love me? Dreaming dreams of you in vain. I'm confessing that I love you over again. Someday you'll leave me, saying, can't we still be friends? If you go, you know you'll grieve me. All that life on you depends. Am I guessing that you love me? Dreaming dreams of you in vain. I'm confessing that I love you over again.
Trudging along, eyes up to heaven, heart full of song. Oh, Lordy, can't you see? I'm washing the blues from my soul. I hit all the high spots and found they were vain. To lose that false pleasure was really to gain. Oh, Lordy, can't you see? I'm washing the blues from my soul. I lifted my hopes to the highest, found a world friendly and true. Now right where you are, you can find it. You only need the right kind of view. I put off the old ways and took on the new. The clouds are divided, the sun shining through. Oh, Lordy, can't you see? I'm washing the blues from my soul.
Some songs about religion to commemorate the network radio debut of Father Charles Edward Coughlin, the Fighting Priest. We started with Tiny Parham and his Musicians and Cathedral Blues from March 12, 1929. Cathedral Blues was written by Tiny Parham, and that was Tiny Parham on the celesta. Then it was Ben Pollock and his orchestra in September of 1930 and Confessin' from Whiz Radio Program Number 1. A series of 10 transcribed radio programs were produced by Sound Studios of New York, pressed on 12-inch double-sided 78 RPM records and distributed to radio stations to be played at a predetermined time since there was no national radio network in Canada at the time. The shows were a half hour long, which would require 8 or 9 sides. The shows were sponsored by the R.M. Hollingshead Company of Canada, which manufactured the Whiz family of products for the car and home, including soaps, polishes, greases, antifreeze, and insect spray. Of the 10 shows that were recorded, only 1.5 have been found. The MC for the show was Chester Gaylord, and he, along with Helen Rowland, Ben Pollock, Jack Teagarden, and Eddie Gale, were vocalists. Chester Gaylord was the vocalist on Confessin'. And we just heard Hal Kemp and his orchestra and Washin' the Blues from My Soul from May 14, 1930. Skinny Ennis was the vocalist, and in the band at the time on trumpet was Bunny Berrigan. He had replaced Jack Purvis, and when Berrigan left around January of 1931 to freelance, Purvis returned to the band. It's Rapidly Rotating Records, Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. Last week, October 5th in 1934, the first major network radio show to originate from Hollywood made its debut as Hollywood Hotel aired for the first time on CBS. At a time when New York and Chicago were the major production centers, Hollywood Hotel featured Hollywood stars in radio dramas. Hosts were Dick Powell, Fred McMurray, Herbert Marshall, William Powell, and gossip columnist Luella Parsons. The series featured the orchestras of Raymond Page and Ted Fiorito, and the announcer was Ken Niles. So here to commemorate the debut of Hollywood Hotel are some songs performed by hotel orchestras, beginning with the Vanderbilt Hotel Orchestra.
Thank you.
Some songs by hotel orchestras to commemorate the debut on CBS Radio on October 5, 1934, of Hollywood Hotel. From 1921, we heard the Vanderbilt Hotel Orchestra, directed by M. Falls, and Rosie, Make It Rosie for Me. And we wrapped up with Bonsema's famous Hotel Fuller Orchestra and Somebody Stole My Gal. Pianist Peter H. Bonsema was born December 4, 1897, in Groningen, the Netherlands. It's unknown under what circumstances he came to the U.S., but he attended high school in Detroit and worked at radio station WCX in 1922. In May of 1923, he appeared at Detroit's Hotel Fuller with the seven-piece band fronted by Samuel Anflick, who later joined the Gene Goldkett Band. The group recorded eight sides for Jeanette, only four of which have ever been found. Somebody Stole My Gal was written in 1918, and Bonsema's is possibly the first recording, made September 17, 1923. The hit version was recorded by Ted Weems a couple of months later. Somebody Stole My Gal was written by Leo Wood, who also wrote Wang Wang Blues. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week and every week for more rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. In the meantime, your comments and requests are always welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. That's email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. You're also invited to stop by the website at www.rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, where you can sign up to receive the weekly playlist by email and play our Jeopardy-type vintage music trivia game. Until next week, this is Glenn Robison, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.
This is Don Gordon, your Skelly Man, saying goodbye and happy landing!